Guys, I got to tell you this crazy story that happened just in this during this Thanksgiving holiday. I got a couple of young women with us, Caitlin and Trish, and they're going to tell a story. So you started getting these, Caitlin, you started getting these crazy text messages and phone calls. Take it from there.
Yeah, so last weekend I got a bunch of random phone calls and text messages from unfamiliar numbers requesting free turkeys.
Requesting free turkeys.
Yeah.
Okay.
I had no idea what they were talking about. I finally, about the third or fourth text in, responded and asked, how did you get this phone number? And they said that it was from a Craigslist ad. I asked for the listing, went and looked at it. Sure enough, 30 free turkeys with my number associated with it in the West Des Moines area.
So this ad is saying like, hey, some people in need, you need a turkey, you don't have the money for a turkey, but here is somebody that's gonna help you out, love to do 30 free turkeys, and they gave your number, which you knew nothing about.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, so take it from there.
So I kind of just brushed it aside at that point, went to bed, got up, came to church the next morning, and you know, just in sitting in church, decided I had three options. I could not respond at all. I could respond and tell them that no, I don't have 30 free turkeys and I'm not sure where the ad came from, or I could find a way to obtain 30 free turkeys and hand them out to these people. Ultimately, I decided that was the best option.
So ultimately, you said, let's just roll with this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, God's brought this to you. It seems like kind of crazy thing, but you said, hey, let's figure out a way to provide the 30 free turkeys, which were offered. I didn't do it, but I'm going to embrace it anyway.
Yep. So I'm walking around the grocery store, kind of price checking turkeys, and I text my family, and I texted Trish, and I'm just like, I don't know if this sounds crazy to you guys, but would you be willing to help me out here? I think, you know, some of these people sound like they're genuinely appreciative of a free turkey for Thanksgiving. So
they apparently there were some real needs there, and your heart was touched by that. You didn't want to just, you know, these people's stories kind of got to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So Trish, when you heard this, was this, she said it sounds kind of crazy. What did you think?
I think the first thing that I said was, people still use Craigslist. But then I got really excited, and usually most of the ideas that she brings to me, I get really excited about. So I was like, let's post it on social media, see if we can get other people to donate, because her family mentioned it. I was like, I'll throw in some turkeys, no problem. And that was the next thing that we did and got so much response from it. It was really amazing.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And so right away, and then what happened, the money was provided from friends and family.
Yep.
And go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. So immediately, I jumped in the shower. I get out of the shower. I have so many donations in my Venmo account. People are texting me, asking me how they can coordinate getting money or turkeys to me, what else they can do to help. These are the different stores I should check for prices, things like that. And we actually ended up having way more funds than we even knew what to do with. Definitely more than 30 turkeys would cost.
That's great. So you decided then, because the donations from the other folks and your donations was more than was needed. So you actually just, you took the funds that they had contributed to buy the turkeys for the folks. And then the two of you were, you know, willing to, you said, hey, I know that there's a need at the Valley Community Center for this event that's coming up for the Chapel Ridge West, the Thanksgiving dessert. And you thought, well, what do you think?
Yeah, so I was like, I'm not really sure who to email, so I'll just email the generic email. I was redirected to Amy, and Amy was like, you know, how many supplies or funds do you have? And I told her I have $300 roughly left over that we would be willing to donate to whatever cause.
That's awesome. And here, and the backstory to this is that Lisa, who is our associate director at the community center, had completely independently of Caitlin and Trish said, you know, I think we still have a need for some of the supplies for the Thanksgiving dessert, and the need is about $300. And so it was a perfect correlation between the two. God works in mysterious ways, and somehow, crazily, 30 people have 30 free turkeys, and the funds are provided for this Thanksgiving dessert so that all the folks from Chapel Ridge West can have a fantastic Thanksgiving dessert open house at the Valley Community Center. All the people who donated the funds are getting the turkeys, and that's going to the turkeys, and then the funds you are donating is going to go to the dessert. So that's all awesome and great. Let me ask you both this question. How does this change Thanksgiving for you this year? I mean, when you sit down at your Thanksgiving meal, will you think any differently about this Thanksgiving meal? How about you?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think it's kind of tradition for everybody to go around the table and list what they're thankful for. This year, it kind of gives you a different appreciation. I've never had a Thanksgiving where I wondered where my meal was going to come from or if I was going to have one at all. So it's really nice and to have that appreciation and to know that, you know, we impacted 30 different families, that they don't have to worry about that now either.
Isn't that great? Mm-hmm. That's just beautiful. How about you, Trish?
I think the biggest thing I took away was, obviously this was probably a prank played on Caitlin, but it's kind of a testament to sometimes God presents us with opportunities where we can turn something possibly negative into something positive and think a little bit bigger picture and do something really, really great for other people. So something to be thankful for sure.
That is amazing. Well, guys, what was intended maybe as a prank turned into an incredible opportunity to be generous and for not only you guys to be generous, but you're saying people from other states and places all got involved to get those turkeys. And then you had the funds, the two of you, to really fund the Thanksgiving dessert for the Chapel Ridge folks. Guys, I think it's a great story and just a fun Thanksgiving story that we wanted to share with you. So thanks, Caitlin, and thanks, Trish, for being a part of this.
Thank you so much.
Caitlin and Trish there. That's just a great story, you know, guys. And you know, taking that situation and turning it in a way that blesses other people. And by the way, the postscript to both of those stories, one was that they, Caitlin and Trish work at the same place, so they actually met the families in the parking lot of their workplace. They met all 30 families, and they said, you know, it was our impression that these were legitimate needs. They weren't just people looking for a bargain, but truly were meeting a need for people that really needed that donation. So they were blessed by that. And then they were funding the Thanksgiving dessert at the community center. We had a great number of volunteers who turned up for that. We had a lighter turnout than we would have hoped for. But the people that we did connect with, the folks that volunteered there connected with, were mostly from outside the Christian faith. And so there was an opportunity to build a bridge from the people at Valley Church, for Jesus followers, to people that maybe aren't Jesus followers. And they're right here in our neighborhood. So all in all, it's just a great thing. And we want to just kick off the Christmas season with that story. Guys, if you could, I want to talk about Light to All Nations. If you have a Bible, open it up to the almost exact middle of the Bible. If you go to the middle of the Bible, you'll get to the book of Psalms, and it's Psalm 67. You can follow along on your device, on the YouVersion app, or just here on the screen here. Psalm 67. And we're talking about light to all nations. And specifically today, we're going to talk about Christmas audacity and obscurity. And that'll become clearer what we mean by that as we go on. But I just want to begin. You know, Christmas, it's interesting in America. Because if you were like an alien from another planet and just dropped in on Black Friday, and you said, this is the kickoff to the celebration of Christmas. I mean, what would your impression be that the Christmas is all about? You know, it'd be like this massive accumulation and distribution of material goods. It's some kind of commerce type thing that they do once a year. And that would be their impression, I think. And so people are getting the video games and the wearable technology and tablets and coach purses and scarves and shoes and, you know, 100-inch TVs and diamond and gold jewelry and toys and more toys and all this stuff. And that's what they think Christmas is about. And the message, and you've heard this before, but the message for a lot of people is Christmas is more about more stuff. And for some people, especially more stuff for me.
right? And as Christians, how do we relate to this cultural phenomena? Well, I mean, I guess we have three options. The one option is just to follow it, to join in and say, okay, that's what we're going to be about, materialistic, that's what's all about, gorging ourselves on whatever. Second option is to retreat and just say, well, no, we're going to not participate at all. We're just going to back off, not do anything. And the third option is to be a light and to say, you know, we are going to engage. And we don't want to withdraw into our spiritual cocoon and contemplate mysteries or whatever. But instead, we say, we're going to recognize those, but we're going to shine our light. And when Jesus arrived, he came to bring light. He's the light of the world. We sing Joy of the World. We sing, he's the light of all these nations. And in fact, our whole theme comes from Luke 2:32, which says Jesus is a light to reveal God to the nations. And the word nations, when we hear that in the New Testament, it can be translated a number of ways. It sometimes is translated Gentiles, that is people who are not from the Jewish people. And then it just means nations, like all the peoples outside of Israel, that's the nations. And the thirdly, it just means all peoples. It means like all the different ethnicities and nationalities and languages that are represented. And really all of those are part of that one word, nations, Gentiles, peoples. And so Jesus is the light to all peoples, to all nations. And tucked away in the middle of the Bible in a psalm, Psalm 67, if you want to make your way there, is this incredible Christmas psalm, I'm going to call it. It's really a prayer. And at first glance, it may not look like it's about Christmas or why is this Christmassy, but it's a little bit like Indiana Jones. You have to kind of dig a little bit and dust off something, or like Nicolas Cage in the National Treasure. You have to go digging a little bit, but you look a little closer, you dust it off a little bit, and suddenly, wow, it makes a lot of sense and it's incredible, all right? So I'm just going to show you Psalm 67, and actually, I'd like us to pray this as like our opening prayer of the Christmas season. So come and pray this with me, and here's the prayer. May God, say it with me. May God be gracious to us and bless us. May he make his face shine upon us, Selah, so that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations rejoice and shout for joy, for you judge the peoples with fairness and lead the nations on earth. Let the peoples praise you, God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has produced its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him. So guys, this is a prayer for Christmas, and really, it's Christmas audacity and obscurity. The prayer is, the people of Israel prayed this prayer, that God would bless them, but not as an end in themselves, but that somehow God would take this little sliver of land and this people and somehow bless all the nations of the earth. I want to give you three principles from this incredible Christmas prayer, and I hope that you'll take them into your heart throughout this Christmas season. The first one is, we are called by Scripture to seek God's blessing. We are called to seek God's blessing. It says here, may God be gracious to us and bless us, and may he make his face shine upon us. Which sounds, left by itself, like super selfish and like narcissistic, and it's like it's all about me. But that's why this little word is added, Selah. And scholars differ about what Selah means, but most biblical scholars think that it means to pause, to reflect, to say, think about it. So God, be gracious to us, bless us, shine on us. Pause. Why? Why would we want God to bless us? Why should God bless us? Why would God bless us? So that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. God bless me so that other people can get in on the good news of Jesus. Other people can learn about how much he loves them. Other people can experience his salvation and forgiveness, peace and joy. Bless me, not so that I can be a reservoir and collector and hoarder of blessings, but bless me so that I can be a conduit, a channel of blessing to other people. And primarily, this is not about financial or material, includes that, I suppose, but it's more than that. It's all of the ways we've been blessed spiritually. I've been forgiven of so much, so what do? I extend that forgiveness to other people. I have experienced joy, so what I do with that? I rejoice so that other people can know about Jesus and experience joy in life. I've experienced peace, and so I'm become a peacemaker so that other people can experience the peace of Christ. That's what this prayer is all about. All right? So guys, how many of you had a Thanksgiving meal? Raise your hand, all right? Almost everybody here had a Thanksgiving meal. And my question is, why did you have a Thanksgiving meal? And you're like, because we were hungry? Okay, well, that would be one reason. That's kind of a micro reason. Well, what's a bigger mega purpose? Because if you don't eat, eventually you starve to death. That would be a mega purpose, but that's not really where I'm driving. Like, what? Why did you gather? Oh, we wanted to get the family together and reconnect as a family in a broader group, and maybe some friends came in, and that's awesome, and that's great. But why? Why would you do that at Thanksgiving? What's the big mega purpose? Oh yeah, so that we would give thanks to God for all his blessings in our lives. That's the big mega purpose of Thanksgiving meals. And he wants us to understand that in this. There's a big mega purpose for God blessing you in all the ways he's blessed you, so that you could take the blessing you have and shine your light to others. So pray this: may God be gracious to us and bless us. May his face shine upon us, Selah, so that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. And you pray that way all the time, don't you? Right? Maybe? Two young boys were spending the night at their grandparents before Christmas. At bedtime, the two boys knelt beside the beds to say their prayers, when the youngest one began praying at the top of his lungs. I pray for a new bike. I pray for a new video game. I pray for a new Blu-ray player. The older brother says, why are you shouting? God's not deaf. He says, I know, but grandma is. All right? So why are we praying, God bless me? God bless me. Believe it or not, in those two verses is the entire story of the Bible. Really? Yeah. Entire story of the Bible. So where'd you get that? Okay, so bless us. They're praying that God would bless the people of Israel so they could be a light to all nations. So go back to Genesis. We'll start there. Abram was a guy, didn't even really know the one true God, but God appeared to him and said, go. And then he told Abram later that I'm going to make you into a great nation. In fact, go outside, see all the stars. So shall your descendants be, greater than the stars in the sky. Or look at the sand on the seashore. You'll have more descendants than the sand on the seashore. He didn't even have a son yet. Eventually, he would get a son named Isaac. And he says, I'm going to make you, Abram, into a great nation. And through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Through you, your son, and when one of your descendants down the road, through that one descendant, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. And who is this descendant of Abraham? You read about in the genealogies in the Gospels, the genealogy of Jesus. So go to Genesis chapter 17, verse 4. Here's just a little verse here. God is speaking to Abram. As for me, here is my covenant with you. You will become the father of many nations. Your name will no longer be Abram. Your name will be Abraham, father of many. For I will make you the father of many nations. See, Abram is not just the father of Israel, because there's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then Jacob has 12 sons, and those become the 12 tribes of Israel, right? But it was never meant to end there. Abraham was not just to be the father of the nation of Israel, he's the father of many nations. So all the nations of the earth are blessed through this one. Have you ever looked at Israel on a globe? Like, take out a globe and try to find Israel. It's not easy. It's like this little tiny sliver, tiny thing. You can barely see it. And here's the audacity of God. and of Christmas is that God's going to take this little tiny sliver that you can barely see on a globe, and actually one person from that little tiny sliver, and he was born in a little town called Bethlehem, and he grew up in an obscure little village called Nazareth. And through that one person in that little tiny speck of land along the Mediterranean, God is going to bless all the nations of the entire earth. Wow! Audacity and obscurity out of this tiny little place. And the whole theme of Christmas is God is audacious. He says he wants to bless tons of people through you, through me, through our lives. But he's going to do it oftentimes through obscure things that nobody notices or think much above. Like getting a Craigslist ad that you're supposed to provide turkeys to everybody, right? I mean, that's crazy stuff. But God uses it to bless other people. But go on, the Bible continues. Aaron was instructed to pray over the people of Israel. And when you bless them this way. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look with favor on you and give you peace. We should pray this kind of prayer, number 6, over ourselves, over our lives, over our families. But it doesn't end with us. No, it goes on. And it is so that we can shine our light to others. In fact, Christmas time, the angel comes and announces Jesus' birth. Angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior is born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord." And through this one child, all the nations of the earth can be blessed. The light to all nations. Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life. He performed many astounding miracles, showing himself to be the Son of God. He taught the kingdom of God, the reign of God. Eventually, he would go to a cross and die for the sins of the world. He would be raised from the dead as a vindication for his claim to be God himself. And then he would ascend into heaven. But before he ascended to heaven, he had one last command to give to his disciples. And here's what he said. Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, all peoples." That's our mission. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. This idea that we're to shine our light to all peoples around us, our neighbors, our communities, from all different places, and then go around the world and take this message. Paul writes it this way, Galatians 3, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us." So around these tables in a few moments, we'll partake the bread and the cup, remembering Jesus' death. What happened on the cross is that Jesus took the curse of sin upon himself so that we could be forgiven and set free. So he receives the penalty for sin instead of us, trusting in him. He became a curse for us because it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree." He took the curse of sin upon himself. Why? The purpose, says Paul, was that the blessing of Abraham would come to the Gentiles, to the nations, to all the peoples by Christ Jesus, so that we could receive the promised Spirit through faith. So this storyline is all there. And it started in Genesis, it ends in Revelation with this scene from heaven, this glorious scene of heaven, when the people of God are surrounding Jesus. And they sing to him and they pray, sing this song. And they sang a new song. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slaughtered. And you purchased people for God by your blood from every tribe and language and people and nation. All peoples, you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign on the earth." We pray that God will bless us so that he can use us to bless others, even the whole world. We don't pray to win the lottery so we can gorge ourselves on wealth and stuff. But instead, we pray that God would bless us spiritually, practically, physically, whatever way, so that we can truly live for the good of other people. Others might come to know him, so that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. I told you guys that the whole story of the Bible is in the first two verses of the Psalm, and it is. It's all, you have to dust it off, you have to dig a little deeper, but it's all there. But now we need a reality check. So that your salvation through the one true God will be known among all nations. Here's a reality check. The audacity of God, the audacity is this, that Jesus had the audacity to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Wow, that's narrow. The apostle Peter, shortly after Jesus ascended into heaven, had the audacity to say, salvation is found in no one else, and there is no other name under heaven given among people by which we must be saved. 2,000 years ago in the first century, that was an incredibly audacious thing to say. That the only way people are really forgiven is through the one true God of Israel and his son, Jesus Christ. That's how people can be forgiven of their sins, and not any other way. Which was an incredibly first century politically incorrect thing to say. Why? Because virtually all the nations of the earth did not worship God, did not worship Jesus. They worshiped Zeus or Jupiter, if you will, same name, same God, and a pantheon of other gods. Question for you. Will anyone be saved by believing in Zeus? Okay, on the count of three. Will anyone be saved by believing in Zeus? One, two, three. No. Do you understand how incredibly offensive that was? 21st century, it's no less. Because while we respect and admire and find commendable truths in many different faiths, ultimately we must insist that salvation is found because only one died to take away our sin. There is no one else who made atonement for sin like Jesus. And that's the audacity. That's what Christmas is all about. That's why we spread this message and this news to all peoples of the earth. It's not just for us to hoard. And when God's ways are not known, there's misunderstanding, there's disrespect, there's exploitation, there's hatred, there's violence, there's war, there's greed, there's impurity, there's anger, and there's worship of false god and idols. And that's just at your family gatherings, right? No, it's here. It's in our communities, it's in our world, it's around the globe, wherever you go. When Jesus is not honored and believed in and followed, now I'm not talking about false Christianity, nominal Christianity, I'm talking about the real thing. The ways of Jesus are really followed. That brings peace and joy and light. But when the message of God with us is unknown or forgotten, we're asking for trouble, guys. When the presence of God, though, is made known, it makes all the difference in the world. And it is more blessed to give than to receive. Valley Church's mission is to make this message known. It's why we do what we do. And I want to tell you guys, March 1990, 29 years ago and counting, 40 people got together for the very first worship service of Valley Church. And they were doing it not for themselves. They said, God bless us so that we can be a blessing to all nations. And today, from those 40 people 29 years ago, there's over 4,000 people who call Valley Church their church home. And from those 4,000 people, now the message of Jesus Christ goes out around the globe through partnership with global partnerships. So not only what we're doing in our own community in significant ways, last year 150,000 people came through the doors of the Valley Community Center, 90%+ of them not from Valley Church, just our community members. And then in 12 different nations that we strategically partner with on five continents, North America, South America, Europe, Asia, Africa, the sun never sets on a place where Valley Church is not involved in supporting and sending missionaries and short-term teams to bless the world. Last year, through your generosity, in the last 12 months, over $250,000 was given to bless people outside of Des Moines, Iowa, around the world. Can we just cheer for a minute? That's just good stuff, guys. God bless you. May God be gracious to you and bless you so that his way may be known. That's it, guys. And we praise God together. Secondly, we praise God together so that all peoples will experience the fullest joy. Psalm 67, verse 3 and 4. Let all peoples praise you, God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations rejoice and shout for joy. For you judge the peoples with fairness. You're a good God. You're a fair God. And lead the nations on earth. You want to guide people in their lives. You want to be that light in their lives to guide them. Selah. Think about it. When Christians are happy and joyful about celebrating Christmas and actually keep the focus on that, and I, by the way, I'm all for giving gifts. I think it's great. I think it's a symbol of Christmas. And keep doing that. And shine your light and be joyful and happy because you have a gift that no one can ever take away. That's awesome. And when we're celebrating that, when we're saying, let the peoples praise you, and when we're praising God for those things and showing thanksgiving, it makes a difference because other people begin to notice, wow, these people are actually happy. They're like joyful. They're not gripers and complainers. Instead, they're joyful in how God has blessed them. You know, social media is an interesting thing. It can be kind of negative. There's a lot of bad things out there and, you know, really leads people astray or gets people up in arms and so forth. But there's some positives to social media too. I mean, when we're celebrating good stuff, it makes people happy. It brings joy to their lives. I'll give you a practical, simple example. A friend of mine, he's a pastor in Alta, Iowa. Anybody here been to Alta, Iowa? You know, okay, 25 of you, excellent, okay. Alta is up there, and it's a little dinky town. It has like 300 people in it. The church in Alta, Summit Church, Summit Evangelical Free Church, has 600 people. It's a big church. It has over like twice the population of the town. But they have this tradition on Thanksgiving Day. They have this football game that they play. It's called the Turkey Bowl, and they just play it out. And it was snowed up in Alta. And my friend sends me this play. From the game. And the question is, for me, is this a catch or no catch? Tell me about it. One more time. Is it a catch or no catch? Okay? All right. How many of you say catch? Raise your hand, all right? How many of you say no catch? All right? Okay, so there's some, okay? All right. So I broke it down, okay? I actually broke it down, okay? So viewing that now, is it a catch or is it, I don't know. This might turn some of your opinions. I don't know. How many of you still say it's a catch? Yeah, it's a catch. All right. How many of you is not a catch? All right. So a few more hands. All right. Why did I share that with you? Well, for one thing, this is very important. I mean, this is a turkey bowl we're talking about in Alta, Iowa. Secondly, it's just fun. And we can use things to celebrate. And they said, here's something simple our church did. And we celebrated that. And they invited some neighbors along with them. And they got to know some guys from the church. And maybe there's a connection, there's a relationship there. And now it's all, you know, builds on that. You start someone, you build on that, and that's good. What if we just, that's great. I love the football game, that's awesome. What if we did that during this Christmas season and we're joyful, thankful, happy people? Because, guys, you know the stereotype of Christians out there. People define this as Christians, as a Christian, as someone with a dreadful fear that someone else somewhere, somehow might just be happy. And we're just terrified of that. So we have to stomp out happiness. That's our job. That is so totally the opposite of the message. Good news of great joy for all the people. That's Christmas. We are called to be joy spreaders. And the truth is, for all the rejection of Christianity that there is in our own nation, you have to ask yourself, are you really happy with your rejection of Christianity? Is that doing something for you? And I hope that people will actually look into our lives and say, you know, you actually seem happy. You're like, you're joyful in spite of some hardships you might go through. I still see joy there. You see, when God is rejoiced in and praised and loved and glorified and followed among his people, they are tremendously blessed, and it can't help but bring great joy to them. And we are called to bring joy when people come, and then people can come to know the one true God. Let all the peoples praise you, God. Third principle, pursue God's harvest so that all peoples will know his grace and his power. Verse 5, the prayer ends. Let the peoples praise you, God. Let all the peoples praise you. Everybody hears about it. That'd be awesome. The earth has produced its harvest. So they're celebrating their Thanksgiving. They're celebrating harvest. All the ways God's blessed us, we're taking a moment and pausing and saying, God, thank you. Praise you for all your many blessings. God, our God, blesses us. But it's not over. Verse 7. God will bless us. And all the ends of the earth will fear him. All the ends of the earth will fear him. To fear him means to take God seriously. When Christians are joyful and when they praise God and when they pray that God will bless them and then they pray that God will bless them so they can shine their light and be a blessing to other people, people take notice of that and they take God seriously. They say, well, maybe there's something to this Christianity thing after all. I thought it was a bunch of bunk. I thought it was not true. I thought it was a bunch of hypocrites. But you know what? Maybe, just maybe, we should give it a second chance. Maybe we should give it an audience. Maybe we should listen to this message of Christmas. That's my prayer. And all the ends of the earth will fear him. They'll say, this God is great, and he's powerful, and he's loving, and he's good. And they'll take him seriously. Wouldn't that be fantastic? So this Christmas season, simple steps. This Christmas season, pray and seek for God to bless you. Absolutely legitimate. God bless us so that I can shine my light on all the peoples around me and around the world. Befriend someone, maybe from another nationality, another ethnicity, another background from yours this Christmas season. Invite a friend to worship, especially Christmas Eve. Invite them and bring them. Volunteer for a Christmas dinner for internationals and bless. Last year we had people from 40 different nations represented. And then be generous during this month of December so that we can be a light to all nations. God has a divine purpose and he wants to bless you so that you can bless others.